So today we're continuing our series. We're walking through the first chapter of James. We're taking it over 7 weeks looking at the first chapter of James just to learn a few things. Like we said last week, James, the person who wrote this, it seemed like he was the half-brother of Jesus, meaning he was Joseph and Mary's son. And so he grew up with Jesus, rejected him, later found out the truth, this really is the Messiah, and gave his life to Christ, and ended up becoming a huge, huge pillar in the church. Last week, or actually one of the things we've been talking about is, he came from a Jewish background, and that meant a lot of how he taught was very legalistic sounding. That means there was a lot of to-dos. This is how you do it. And a lot of Christians have looked at his book and just walked away with this idea like, I've got a lot of burdens I need to carry to figure out how to live this Christian life. And what we want to do this semester is take a look at James and look a little under the surface, underlying his Jewish ideas and ideology. How does his relationship with Jesus really shine through the book? And how can we read James and understand that this is really a book teaching us how to draw closer to the person of Jesus? Not just give us a list of to-dos. It does that as well. But these to-dos are the things that can help us know Christ and live an abundant life. So, my question, last week we talked about that God gives us trials to draw us closer to Him and teach us to cling to Him. This week, we're going to talk about wisdom. It's the next part of our chapter. But before we get into that, here's your question for you today. Have you guys ever been really lost? Like, really lost? About three of you laughed because only like three of you are old enough to know what this picture is. It's from a TV show called Lost. You can watch it. It's fine. It's weird. Anyway, have you guys ever been actually legitimately lost? Where you're like, I have no idea where I am, and I have no idea how to get where I'm going. This seemed to happen a lot in the Biang family. One year we left Christine at the Science and Industry Museum in downtown Chicago and made it almost all the way back home before we realized someone's missing. You guys have heard this story, I think. Once my parents left me at a gas station in Colorado before the era of cell phones, I went inside to use the restroom and came back out and saw them driving away. I went, well, there's that. I was like 16, no money. What do you do when you're like absolutely lost? And you don't even know where to go. You don't know who to call. You don't know what to do. I'll tell you what I did. I sat down on the curb and thought, I'll just wait. They'll come back for me someday. Took them about 45 minutes. Our passage today helps us understand what to do when we don't know what to do. When we're lost, we don't know our next steps. We don't know how to take the next steps forward that God wants. This passage is really simple, and it helps us understand some things. It's a passage that just talks about wisdom. So here's our big thought I want to share with you guys today. Our big thought here is simply that wisdom from God teaches us how to abide in hard times. Okay? What I mean, let me unpack this a little bit here. If last week God gives us hard times to teach us to abide in Him, to draw closer to Him, and to remain in Him, God wants to give us wisdom to teach us how to do that. God wants us to know the next steps in our life clearly on how to be close to God and how to walk through the hard times of life with Him. With Him. You know, the trick to life is really learning to abide in Christ in trials. That's really the trick, because from Christ comes life. He gives us everything good. Our big thing we need to know is, when life sucks, how do I hold on to Jesus? What do I need to do? What's holding me back? How do I hold close to Him? The devil is at work in every one of our lives. His goal is simply to pull you as far away from Jesus as you can. And he'll do whatever it takes. He's the father of lies. He'll plant lies in our lives. He'll plant lies in other people's lives that'll make them hurt us. What Satan wants to do is kind of like a crafty old lion. He wants to separate you from your protection. You know, you separate the weak and the young from the herd, then you can eat them, right? If you can separate us from our Savior Jesus, where we're not in relationship with him, that's his goal. So today we're just simply talking about how God desires us to be close, and he will not withhold from us what we need to do to be close to him. Why don't we pray, and then we'll read our passage and jump into three quick points. So Lord, we just thank you, God, that you are the God that's near to us. Lord, just like singing that song, Lord, that it's just you and me here now. We know that's not true. We're surrounded by people, but the reality is that you are in the hearts of everyone who believes. And you want to be near to us. God, you stand at the door and you knock, Lord, and we want you to be near to us too. At least on some level, God, we all have faith that desires you. I just pray that you'd be helping us learn just how to discern, how to listen to your voice, how to walk in wisdom and learn to abide in Christ more as a church, that we might be changed and we might be more like you, that we might have joy and peace in trials, that we might love our brothers and sisters and love this world more. God, we ask you for that today, that you would be speaking to our hearts wherever we are this morning, that we might know you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're doing the next four verses in James, James 1, 5 through 8. I'll have them up on the screen here. I'm just going to read them, and I'm going to walk through just three real simple things. I hope it's an encouragement to your faith today. James 1, 5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." It's kind of an interesting passage. If you lack wisdom, ask God, he'll give it to you. But ask in faith, because if you doubt, you shouldn't suppose you'll receive anything from the Lord. Okay, wait a minute here. So, I can ask for wisdom, but as soon as I doubt, it's all over. I'm not getting nothing. God rejects me, says, "No, you're not good enough for me." Well, that's not what it's actually saying. Today we're going to dig in a little bit here. Just three quick points. Now, I know every single one of us in this room, on some level, wants to know God, wants to be near to him. And on every level, we kind of suck at it. We're not good at it. Some of us are growing in it. Some of us are stuck in it. God's heart is he wants us to know him. So here's our first thing I want you guys to think about today. Number one, God says wisdom is freely available to all. Wisdom is freely available to all. If you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives to all without reproach, generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. That word generously, it really just means simply. It's not complicated. God wants to give you wisdom in life if you ask for it. So simple. It's free, and he will never be mad at you for asking. In fact, it brings him great joy for you to ask him for wisdom in the midst of your life. Wisdom is pretty interesting. Let's take a look at the next slide here. So this is what the word for wisdom really means in the New Testament in a lot of ways. It has this idea of practical knowledge applied. It's not just having a bunch of thoughts in your brain like your average Tom DeYoung does, where I can spew random facts that I know that have no bearing on reality or anything real, right? If you hang out with me long enough, you'll realize that. No, this is wisdom, is knowing things that actually help you with choices in life. Actually help you discern what is the right thing to do, what is the wrong thing to do. Here's three choices. Which one's the best? How do I make my decision so I don't ruin my life? That's wisdom. It's pretty straightforward. In fact, the word for wisdom in the Greek language is actually really closely related to the word for clear. Clear. Wisdom gives clarity. So if you're ever walking through life and you go, I don't know that I see what I'm supposed to do. I don't know what's going on. I can't see. Everything's cloudy. Everything's fuzzy. I don't know the next steps I'm supposed to take. God says, come to me, ask, I'll give you clarity about what you should do. I love it. It's not complicated. He's not like, hey, have a 5-hour quiet time and then ask for clarity, then I'll give it to you. No, all he says is, if you lack wisdom, ask, and God will give it to you generously. If you lack wisdom, just ask. That's it. Just ask God. God's wisdom gives us clarity about our next step, so just ask. I think if we don't ask, have you guys ever been in hard times and you don't even think about God? I feel like that's most of my hard times. Hard times come and I take my eyes off Jesus because I have a problem to deal with. And then pretty soon when I'm overwhelmed and life's hard and it's like, this is horrible. What is going on? I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I've realized in my life, if I am not asking God for clarity in my life, it's from one of two reasons. Either I'm afraid of what it means to ask him, or I'm too proud, I think I can handle it on my own. Those are the two reasons I don't ask God for more wisdom in life. Well, I'll ask God when it's really a problem. When it's something really significant, I'll go seek God. You know, maybe like moving to a foreign country like Wisconsin or something. No, but God says, if you lack wisdom, ask and I'll give it to you. Wisdom about anything. This passage is particularly about trials, but it's much broader than trials. If you need wisdom, ask God. He will give it to you. What are the things in your life right now that you're like, I am unsure? I don't know. I don't see clearly. What are those things in your life right now? I think the real wisdom God wants to give us is the steps that will bring us closer to Jesus. It's not just, God created all things, right? I was in a physics exam once, and I walked in and realized, oh, I forgot I had a physics exam. I did not study one lick because I was at a Bible study. And I'm like, well, Lord, you know my heart. I went to the Bible study and I didn't study at all, but you created physics so you can give me all the answers. And I took the exam and I did great. God can do that. But I don't know that that's specifically what he's talking about here. Just wisdom on our practical lives. He'll do it. My dad always, before he tries to fix a car, always prays, because every time he doesn't, it goes horribly wrong. It's a good thing to do. Before you do anything, take a minute, humble yourself, and just ask God for wisdom. I found myself, actually, so here's a point for you guys. If you're ever in a church and the preacher is preaching, walk up to the preacher and say, hey, I'm just curious, like, what from the teaching today struck your life? Like, what are you trying to apply to your life from what you just taught us? Because a good teacher of God's word lets the word hit them before it hits you guys. So this morning, I woke up, I'm like, I don't want to be alive. I want to go to bed. I'm anxious. I'm overwhelmed. I have no idea why. And what did I do? Normally, I'm just like, well, I'm going to get up and do things. But this morning, I'm like, oh, no, I need to teach on wisdom. And so I just took some time and said, God, I don't know what's going on, but I want to follow you and I want to be close to you. What can I do today that will help me to do that? Would you please show me? And I think he did. I think he helped me just recognize what I was anxious about and how to give it over to him. Just ask. So here's point number two. This is where the passage gets kind of interesting. Two, wisdom. The wisdom we're talking about comes from faith in Jesus. And it comes from being close to Jesus. Hebrews 4 tells us, walk boldly before the throne of grace so that you can find grace and help in time of trouble. When we need help, go to Jesus and ask him. Here's James 1:6. Let him ask in faith. So if you're going to ask for wisdom, ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Wisdom comes from faith in Jesus. We need to have faith. As a Christian, your wisdom can be lacking. That's okay. God knows you're dumb. God knows I'm dumb. He's like, you're never going to be as smart as me or see as clearly as me. That's okay. Wisdom can be lacking in our lives, but faith cannot. Wisdom can be lacking, but faith cannot be lacking. If we lack faith, what it really means is we are not close to Jesus. And so in order to receive wisdom, we need to be seeking to be close to Jesus. It's not that hard. And I was thinking about it this morning as we were singing here. God makes getting wisdom and being close to Jesus incredibly simple. One way, Jesus. It's not that hard. Just be close to him. He's already there. Open the door. You know what's not simple? Jesus. Jesus is not simple. He is incredibly complex. You know what else is not simple? You. You're not simple. I'm not simple. We're a mess. All the reasons why we don't draw close to Jesus are inside of us. And the trick is figuring out what's going on. God wants to help us figure that out. The wisdom God wants to give us ultimately is the wisdom that draws us into a deeper relationship with Christ. Let's take a look here at what faith really means. So we need to have faith. If we want wisdom on how to walk through life close to God, we need faith. So what is faith? This is from Hebrews chapter 11. It says, faith is the assurance or the conviction of what you hope for or what cannot be seen. It's being sure that what you hope for is real. Sure that what you don't see is actually reality. It's being convinced of things. I can be convinced that Jack Hamlin is sitting in the old people section. Oh, Mackenzie, too. Hey. I don't know. You guys, maybe you never noticed this. All the old people sit on this side of the room, or the people that feel old. The young people all sit over on this side of the room. So. Right? I see that. Faith is believing the unseen. Okay? But faith can be in many different things, right? Faith is not just for the Christian or for the religious person. In fact, a lot of science is built on faith. It's not a dirty word. We just simply can't see everything. We need a mechanism in our life to believe what we can't see. Such as when the last few times I've flown, I've never seen the pilot. But I have faith he's there. Right, Caitlin? Or she. Or she. I have faith they're there, that it's not just an empty plane that I'm sitting on that's flying through the air, right? Sometimes I hear them over the intercom. Now you could suppose, well, maybe they're not a real person. Maybe it's a recording. Maybe some sort of cybertronic intelligence has taken over the airplane and is flying. No. I believe, even though I didn't see, there's a pilot. I believe for many years the Cubs would win the World Series. Although they showed me nothing, it was totally unseen, they were horrible, but they were going to win it. And you know what? They won it. That is faith. Believing the unseen. In this case, I think the faith we need is to believe what God has said. Just not real complicated. We just need to believe what God says. He hasn't said it directly to us. It's transmitted to us through the Word. But the question is, do we believe it? Are we sure in our hearts that what God said is true? Are we sure? Are we convinced that God is trustworthy? If we are, by golly, ask for wisdom. He's going to give it to you. We need to believe that he'll give it to us in his timing. That if we wait on him, he'll help us know what to do. That's God's kind of wisdom. And it requires faith. How many times have I asked God, God, help me know what to do right now? And then when I don't feel any different in the moment, I get discouraged and give up. Faith says, God will give me wisdom. He doesn't tell me when he's going to give me wisdom, but we can trust he's going to do it at the proper time. Just ask for wisdom, and he'll give it to you generously. Do you believe that today, saints? Is that where you're at? I'm growing that way. So here's the simple thing. Believe Jesus. Believe what he said. Believe that he's who he said he is. When he says, come to me, I'll give you rest. I'll give you wisdom. I'll give you the power you need to live a righteous life. Do you really believe that? Because if you did, you'd be going to him all the time. Here's the problem. Point number three is that doubt pushes Jesus and wisdom away. When we doubt, we end up pushing Jesus away. We might have some faith that Jesus is who he says he is, but there might be other things working within us that say, I don't know that I can trust him. I don't know that I can believe him. And we doubt. We doubt what he says. We doubt who he is. Here's what James has to say about doubting. It says, let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So if faith is believing what God says, doubt is really rejecting God. Doubt is saying, I don't believe you. And what doubt does is it takes a step back and pushes Jesus further away. It says, that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Why is that? Is it because God's mad at you that you've stepped away? No, it's because God wants you to know that everything good comes from him, comes from his presence. And the closer you get to Jesus, the more good you find. And so if you push Jesus away, should you be surprised that you don't see as much good in your life? Jesus isn't going to force himself on you. He's not going to make you know wisdom. He wants you to come and ask for it. If in your heart you're doubting him and saying, I don't believe you, he's going to wait until you come closer. What's really interesting here is this section. It really talks about, like, it's people who have faith yet also doubt. It's both. You, as a Christian, can have faith in Jesus and believe a lot about him, and at the same time, doubt who he is, doubt what he says. A lot of times we talk about there's two different things going on, two different types of knowledge in our lives. There's a head knowledge. Yes, I believe the Bible. I affirm everything the Bible says, and I choose to believe it. Then there's a heart knowledge. Yeah, but did God really say that? Is that really what God meant? Is God really going to come through for me? What about all those times I've been let down? Doubt dwells inside of us, and the Bible talks about it as being a double-minded man or woman. Double-minded, it literally means two-spirited or two-headed. It's like you're living your life with two completely different heads on your shoulders trying to make you do what they want. Not real effective. Not a real great way to make good decisions in your life either. If you're always being pulled in multiple directions. Here, let's take a look at this word doubt. The word doubt, it really comes from a root that means to separate from in a hostile spirit. Whereas faith is drawing close to Jesus. Doubt is separating yourself and thinking, I don't know that I can trust you. It's not a friendly thing. Doubt is a hostile thing. It pushes away. It's really interesting, this word doubt. It's actually the same word that's used later in James, where it talks about when a rich person and a poor person walk into your church, and you love hanging out with the rich person, and you tell the poor person, why don't you go sit on the floor somewhere? You're making a distinction between two people, and you're judging them, and one of them you're saying, you're not as good, get out of here. In reality, our doubt is a judgment that we are making. It actually comes from a place of pride, thinking, I know what's best for me. I am the one who gets to discern what's really right and wrong. Ultimately, doubt is the inverse of assurance or conviction. It's the opposite of faith. It says, yeah, I know what God says, but I'm going to believe something else. I'm deep down going to think, I'm going to try to protect myself. I'm not going to take the chance that maybe Jesus isn't really true. Ultimately, God wants you to be close, and doubt pushes him away. So when this passage talks about that you shouldn't believe that you receive anything from the Lord, it's saying, well, it's because you've got your arms crossed and your hand up, and you say, I don't think you're going to do it. One time, I actually don't remember who this was. I just have this, you guys ever have those vague memories in the back of your mind where you're just like, wow, this is a real thing that really happened, but the details aren't there. So I'm going to make up some details. You guys can discern which parts of it are true. This is a true story, mostly. One time, I was the boss of a large corporation. And my employee was always kind of sour toward me. And so I was sitting there in my office, and they walk in the room, and you can just tell they're in a grumpy mood. And they just walk in and say, they said basically, okay, I want a raise. I'm like, all right, let's talk about it. And then before I could say anything, they're like, oh, fine, never mind. I knew you weren't going to give it to me anyways. And then just left. It's a true story. I just don't remember the details. Anyways, that attitude, walked in, they had enough faith to come and ask me for what they wanted. And then immediately, before I could answer, just had prejudged I wasn't going to give it to them. Do you guys ever have that heart with God? You know you're supposed to ask him for wisdom. You know you're supposed to obey him and follow him, but your heart is so far away. In fact, it's kind of hard toward him. That is doubt. It's the second thing that we think when we try to draw near God. And ultimately, it comes from the beliefs in our heart. It comes from our wrong interpretations of our circumstances in life, or our wrong understanding of the way things really are. Ultimately, I don't think doubt is our enemy. So faith is our friend. I think doubt simply is pointing out places in our life that God wants to change in us. God wants to you not to ignore the places in your life where you doubt him. A lot of people do that, and then they just live their life up in their head, but in their heart, they just shut it down and keep God at a distance. And they look good on the outside, but on the inside, they're really a mess. I think what God wants us to do is, when there's areas in our life where, like, I don't know that I can trust God in this, God's like, great, come ask me wisdom about that. Why don't you and I work on that together so that you can walk in more faith? Maybe you ought to talk to someone who's a more mature Christian following Christ, that you're like, hey, I'm struggling with this. Can you help me figure this out? Ultimately, I think if we doubt, God wants us to just simply be aware of our heart attitudes. He wants us to be paying attention to what's going on the inside, about where maybe there's some things I don't really believe God well in. We need to be curious about what's going on the inside and observant about what's going on under the surface. Kind of like, I'm curious why Austin's the only one here today wearing a short-sleeved shirt. You got to be observant, right? Okay, anyway. You know, ultimately, God wants you to live your life on a firm foundation, and that foundation is Christ. Most of us live a double-minded life, and God wants us to live a less and less double-minded life, one that is fully committed to Him. The passage we read today, it talked about how a double-minded man is like the wave of the sea, unstable in all its ways. It reminded me of something that's happened in our lifetime here. Let's go to the next slide. Do you guys remember this, the earthquake and tsunami that hit Japan about 9 years ago? March 2011. Fourth largest earthquake ever recorded since they started recording earthquakes over 100 years ago. Right off the northeast coast of Japan. Huge amount of earth-shaking damage. That wasn't the real problem. The real problem was it caused the waves to heave and an enormous wall of water hit mainland Japan. I think most places it was a 20 to 30 foot tall wave of water. That's almost as tall as the Wesley Foundation here, maybe a little taller. That much water just crushing the land. Said that in some places it went 6 miles inland, and then what it did was carried everything that wasn't thoroughly anchored out to sea. I mean, it's a huge tragedy. It's the most costly natural disaster that's ever occurred in the history of the world. I think it was like 20 or 30,000 people died. It was a mess. But, you know, I was thinking about the trials in our life are kind of like those tsunamis, right? If you're not anchored, it's going to leave you drifting. Let's go to the next slide here. It's actually a picture of all over the Pacific Ocean after that. There were these floating rafts of debris, just stuff out in the water. They haven't cleaned it all up, I don't think, but there's a lot of it. Where the water swept over the land, and then it was taken out to sea, and everything was just left floating. I think in our lives, if we don't figure out how to be anchored to Christ, when hard times come, we're going to be left adrift. We're going to be like those waves that hard times come and we're left tossed, we're unstable. Like, I don't know if you tried to stand up on this pile of stuff. You might be able to hold on for dear life, but you're not going to live there. Faith is what anchors us to Jesus. Doubt cuts the mooring lines and lets us drift. God wants us to learn to hold tight to Christ. He wants to give us the wisdom on how to walk through our struggles in life, to be close to Him, and live the life He's purchased for us at the cross. Let's take a look at James 1:6 here before we close. It says, "Let him ask for wisdom in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind." God wants you close to Him, and He wants to make it easy for you if you'll just believe that He wants it, that He's going to help you. So as we conclude here, it's basically, just remember that if you're facing hard times and you're not sure what to do, grab a hold of Jesus and ask for help. Ask Him to help you know how to move forward. Ask Him for clarity. Then also pay attention to what struggle is going on inside of you, what you're struggling to believe in this situation. Don't just ignore the doubt. Bring that doubt to Jesus. He wants to be there with you. So why don't we just bow our heads and pray here. God, I'm just thankful, Lord. You do make it simple, God. Believe in the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. Ask for wisdom. God will give it to you generously, without reproach. Never angry. Always abundantly blessing us. I just think that we can come to you for help in the midst of our trials and our sorrows, God. And not just you're available, God, you desperately desire us to come to you. Help us recognize in our lives, God, where we don't. where we struggle, where we're not clinging to you, God. Teach us to hold on tight to you, God, that we might find true life and bear fruit for your kingdom. Lord, and in the midst of hard things in our life that you are bringing into our lives, help us not resist you or doubt you. Help us to believe. Lord, we just want to say that you are our God, you are our Father. God, we want to trust you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.